Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, almost 56 million babies in the United States of America have been aborted. One of them could have found the cure for cancer. We'll never know. West Virginians for Life is sponsoring a special event at the Bridgeport Conference Center in Bridgeport, West Virginia, to memorialize those babies that have died and to lament the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. We hope you'll join us at 2 o'clock today, Bridgeport Conference Center, for this special event. And now, a message that I preached at our church recently entitled, It's Time to Throw Down. I pray that the Lord uses this message to be a great blessing to you.
I'd like to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 and the first verse. The Bible says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now I want you to think about those words for a moment. Those words were absolutely, literally true, that the human manifestation of God actually, physically walked out of the Jewish temple. But I want you to think about the spiritual significance of God walking out of your church. The Bible says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him. I want you to think about the spiritual significance of those words. If I'm ever building a monstrosity of religion and I find that God is not in it, I better leave my monstrosity of religion and go find Him. The disciples came to Him. Now this is interesting. The disciples are wanting the Lord, but they're still proud of the temple. And they're trying their best to get the Lord to adopt their program. The Bible says they came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And I want to preach to you tonight, it's time to throw down. In the old days, there was a funny word for a glove that a soldier wore into battle. That word, I saw Elder Claypool say the words, that word was a gauntlet. And it's amazing how different things have different meanings. In fact, humans are really good at taking an abstract meaning and an arbitrary gesture and assigning that meaning to that gesture. It's a wonderful creative skill that God put in us. It's why we're able to communicate with written language and with spoken language. But it's interesting when you think about the way that different cultures assign different meanings to certain things. In the old days, if you wanted to tell someone, you have offended my honor, you have offended my family's honor, and you and I are about to fight until one of us is dead. The way you would communicate that would be by taking off your gauntlet and throwing it down. And that's the result of the modern saying, it's time to throw down. And so it was when someone threw down the gauntlet, that meant it's time for a battle until we figure out which one of us is going to live and which one of us is going to die. Recently in the news, it was reported that gang members saw a man making gestures, and they mistook his gestures for being those of a rival gang. And it was simply American Sign Language. And they came upon him and beat him severely, nearly killed him, if I remember the story correctly. All because of some gestures getting misunderstood. Well, I want to tell you tonight that there is an enemy that we are confronting. And we better make up our minds not to play around with it. We better have our minds made up that it's time to throw down the gauntlet. And we don't want anyone to misunderstand our gesture, that we mean it exactly the way we mean it. It's time to deal with the issue until it is taken care of. Amen. I want to preach tonight about having some throw down church. Amen. I want to tell you that this world system, with all of its inherent evil and intrinsic problems, is destined to be thrown down. But lest you misunderstand and think that I'm here tonight trying to incite us in a secular, physical, worldly rebellion against the world system. That is the farthest thing from my mind. I want to tell you that the evil that we face and the enemy that we face is of a much different sort than this world system. And it's important for us to recognize that the Lord did not tell us that the way He's going to reform the world is for His Christian soldiers to go out and get elected to all of the offices in government, and that we are going to legislate righteousness upon the earth, and as soon as we have enough laws, then everybody's going to start doing right. And that's how we'll usher in the millennial kingdom age, is we'll politically take over the world. I'm not advocating a political takeover. I want to tell you that as I study the scriptures, it leads me to believe that when the millennial kingdom age comes around, it will not be because I set up a government for Him. It will be because He comes and sets up the government for Himself. Amen. Amen. The world system is destined to be thrown down one day when He comes. But when the Lord Jesus began to tell them about buildings being thrown down, it was not what they wanted to hear. You see, their equivalent of our worldly system was oppression under the Roman Empire. In fact, one of their greatest false doctrines, one of their greatest mistakes in their understanding, one of the areas where they really had it wrong, was because they believed that the most pressing matter was to be free from the oppression of the Roman Empire. They believed that when Messiah would come, that Messiah would lead them in natural battle with natural armies to defeat the Roman Empire. And they were all ready to accept Jesus as the Messiah until He made clear, I did not come to fight natural wars against the Roman Empire. I came to fight a completely different kind of battle. And it's a much more important battle. As great as the darkness breaks my heart, and as horrible as the darkness is that we face, and it's already been alluded to tonight, folks, we live in such a weird and twisted world where it is not deemed a trespass to force a business owner to violate his Christian scruples, to pay for abortifacient drugs that kill an unborn human. But supposedly it is a trespass to ask the woman who wants the abortifacient to pay for her own murder drug. We live in a world where you can have a barbecue and have as many hundreds of people over to your house as you want. You can have a bingo game at your house and have hundreds at your house. You can have a family reunion and have hundreds at your house. But in Arizona, if you want to have these people at your house, a couple of dozen people for a Bible study, well, you're in violation of city code. Folks, the darkness is dark and getting darker. We live in a day when people will come, two women who want to get married, and tell a wedding photographer, you're going to photograph our wedding whether you like it or not, and if you say no, we'll sue you for discrimination. We live in a dark day, but as great as that darkness breaks my heart, I want to tell you that it is not the primary issue. It's not the major issue that we face. The real empire that needs to be thrown down is the battle that we wage in our minds. I want to ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. There's an old saying that says you can either curse the darkness or light a candle. I want to tell you tonight that my efforts to preach about how dark it is not really the main thrust of my message. I'm not here tonight just to waste time cursing the darkness. And it is dark, and it is major, and it is bad. It's causing a lot of people to lose their souls. It's causing a lot of people to lose their lives. It's causing a lot of people to be stuck in the bondage of sin. It is a major, major issue. But I want to tell you that as a corporate group, as the body of Christ, where we need to focus our attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Tell somebody it's time to throw down. It's time to pull down some strongholds. I want to preach to you tonight, folks, that if we have revival, nothing else matters. And if we don't have revival, nothing else matters. What needs to happen to change this world is not going to start in the government. It's not going to start in the schools. It's not going to start in the city. It's not going to start in the field. What needs to happen in America has got to start in the church. We got to have a revival. He said, we're fighting a war, but it's not a war of the flesh. We're not to try to win the battle with the darkness by cursing the darkness and by fighting it in the flesh. We do walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are these strongholds? I want to tell you, they are right in between our ears. The next verse makes it plain. Casting down imaginations. Where do you imagine things? Right between your ears. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Where do you have knowledge? It's in your brain. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you, the battle for the soul of this country is going on in the spiritual warfare of her churches. The battle for the soul of this world is going on in the spiritual warfare being waged by the churches. And the primary focus is for us to make sure that more than wanting Rome cast down, we want Jesus lifted up. Amen. I'm going to say it again. More than wanting to see the darkness cursed, we want to see the light lit. We want to see the brightness and the glory of the Lord arise and shine. And in order to do that, we have got to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. The Jews thought that the most pressing goal was getting free from Roman oppression. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord would have, I believe, granted them freedom from Roman oppression if they had realized freedom from Roman oppression wasn't their most pressing need. The fact is that they were in a cold-hearted, backslidden state of rebellion against God. As a people, not every one of them, not all of them, but most of them, and as a corporate body, they were cold and wayward. And we see in their history over and over again that when they came close to God as a corporate body, when they had a national repentance, when they had a revival that restored their relationship with God, He gave them peace from all their enemies, and He gave them political liberty and political freedom. But when they would backslide, He would allow one of their enemies to come in and conquer them. I want to tell you that Roman rule was an indication they were not where they needed to be. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand and think that I'm trying to draw a one-to-one parallel and say that because America is in darkness, that means that she's backslidden, although that is the case. America as a people, not every one of her, not all of us in America, not every American, but the mass majority of Americans are wayward and far away from God, and we are seeing the recompense of sin on this nation. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But I don't want you to mistake and think that I'm turning America into a modern-day Israel. Israel was a theocracy. America is a representative republic. They're completely different animals. It's comparing apples to oranges. It's not an accurate. You'll exhaust that analogy very quickly. It will fall apart. But still, it holds true that if America would turn to God, God would turn to America. If America would turn to God, God would help her to get out of the mess that she is in. Well, I have good news for you. In the midst of a wayward culture, and in the midst of a culture that is a deep darkness so black that you can't even see your hand in front of your face, the Lord has a light in the earth, and it is the church, the bride of Christ. And this is what the Lord said in the three synoptic gospels. Nobody lights a candle and hides it in a secret place. Nobody lights a candle and covers up its light under a bushel. No, we are the church. He said, you are the light of the world. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The best thing we can do for America is be on fire for God. Pray, fast, witness, live holy. Be the light. Amen. If we will realize that the greatest challenge that we face is not to rid ourselves from the oppression of a wayward culture, but the greatest challenge that we face is to stay in proper relationship with the Lord God Almighty. I want to prophesy to you, if we will realize that loving God is more important than money, God will help us with the money problem. If we'll realize that loving God is more important than having a country that respects our freedom of religion, He'll help us with the culture trying to persecute us. Whatever it is that we're scared of, whatever it is we're afraid of, if we'll do this one thing, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I think I heard a youth pastor say one time that if we seek Him first and His righteousness, all this other stuff is going to be added to you. I want to tell you tonight, young people, don't fret about your Social Security. Don't fret about money. Don't fret about jobs. Get in love with Jesus, and He will take care of His bride. Amen. I want to tell you, in the Holy Ghost, the Lord has ordered this service. Amen. We heard Elder Fout get up and take that microphone. I want to commend him. I didn't ask him for an apology. I didn't go to him. He took it upon himself to humble himself and apologize before an entire church. But if you'll allow me to paraphrase what he said, he basically said, I got in a place where my thinking was getting detoured. What happened? In the midst of a mental struggle, in the midst of a thought life crisis, I didn't say a midlife crisis, I said a thought life crisis. In the midst of questioning himself, questioning his motives, questioning his skill set, questioning his relationships, questioning his meaning and purpose in life, he made this one thing clear. I love God. And I love the church. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you are questioning everything else, you need to make sure. Don't question your love of God. And don't question your love of the church. Because here's what happens. Along comes a Sunday night, and Sister Joseph starts playing with Holy Ghost anointing. And the drummer is worshiping God with the drums. And somebody takes a lap around the church. The Holy Ghost moves. And suddenly God touches our thinking and puts us back on the right path. We go from saying, will I ever be successful in the kingdom? Will I ever be what God wants me to be? The elder goes from wondering, will I ever be successful in the ministry? The dad goes from wondering, am I going to be able to raise my kids right? Am I going to be able to maintain my marriage? He goes from those questions and those doubts and those very sincere concerns to saying, I love God and I trust Him to help me. And the Lord touches our thinking. And some stuff gets thrown down. Amen. Folks, every now and then, you just need to have a Holy Ghost conniption. Amen. I want to tell you, after they sung that song, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Do you understand? That's a song about relationship. The Holy Ghost has ordered every part of this service tonight. Every word that every elder has spoken, it has led up to this one thing. You can let it go if money's slipping out of your hand. You can let it go if relationships are slipping out of your hand. You can let it go if your job seems like it's slipping. You can let that stuff go. But one thing you better not let go is the hand of the Master. We have got to stay in relationship with the King of Kings. Amen. After they sung that song, and Sister Murphy was trying to get to her seat, and she couldn't get to her seat. And she began to worship, and she began to shout and to dance. You know what's happening, folks? Stuff is getting thrown down. That's how you have throw down church. That's how you get everything straight in your life. When you begin to worship God like you don't care what anybody thinks about it. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with me right now. It's time for us to have some throwdown church. I want to ask the musicians to come back. I want to ask you to get somebody by the hand. Look them right in the eye and say, it's time for us to throw some stuff down. Amen. I want you to listen, folks. They wanted Jesus to come and help them throw down the Roman Empire. And Jesus said, no. I'm going to do something much more beneficial. Folks, a church building is very important. And a church building can be extremely beneficial and extremely helpful. But if your church building becomes a symbol of a religion that is devoid of God, then you have just made that building your God. And the best thing God can do for you would be to take it away from you. Amen. The Lord looked at them. He said, you know, I'm paraphrasing. He said, I know everybody wants me to deal with the Romans. But in actuality, the Romans are going to come in and they're going to tear all this down. There's not going to be left one stone upon another. Amen. I heard one of our preachers many years ago, he said this. He said, religion is man's approach to God man's way, when what we really need is to approach God His way. Amen. And so that leads us to the understanding, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. In fact, that preacher who made that statement, that religion is man's approach to God man's way, he went on to show that in the Bible, the word religion is used with a negative context, a negative connotation in the Scripture, so much so that the only two uses of that word that weren't in a negative light had to have adjectives put in front of them to make sure that we knew that it was the decent, right kind. For instance, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows. All other, with the only two exceptions, all other references to religion in the Bible. It's not a good thing. I want to tell you, folks, people are doing a great disservice when they attack our religious rights. And it's wrong. And it is un-American. But we need to understand, we live in a day and age when those people out there believe the Bible is a flawed and evil document. They believe the Constitution is a flawed and evil document. They think they are doing America a favor by getting her away from the Constitution and away from the Bible. And these people think that they are doing a service to society to bend Christians and force them against their conscientious scruples. Now, how are you going to have revival in that atmosphere, Pastor? That's the only atmosphere we got to have revival in. But you need to understand, they can take away your religious freedoms. It's wrong. They shouldn't. But you need to understand, there's many occasions in history when God has allowed His people to suffer under a regime that took away their religious rights. Many people don't realize this. It's not the Bible that safeguards our freedom of religion in America. It's the Constitution. And we are seeing a 1-2 knockout punch where they are taking people's minds away from the Bible and the Constitution. It's wrong. It's bad. I hope we can stop it. It doesn't look good. But in the midst of all that, you need to understand, they may take away my religion, but they can't take away my Savior. They may take away my religious rights, but they can't take away my relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And this is why you find in the Bible people that were told, you revoke your religion and take this one, or we're going to put you in a box full of fire. And what we find is, they took away their right to avoid the box full of fire, but they couldn't take away the God that went in the box full of fire with them. Amen. What I'm telling you is, America could have its dollar drop out, what Greece is doing right now. All of your 401k could become worthless overnight. We've seen currencies devalued so quickly, in some places we've seen them literally devalue overnight. What are you preaching, Pastor? Doom and gloom? No. I'm preaching, don't let your trust be in money. Let your trust be in God. Here's what I'm telling you. I hope America doesn't go down. But the good news is, if it does, I'm not trusting in America. I'm trusting in God. And this is why over and over again through the Scripture you read about everybody else is in a drought and dying, but there's a little Syrophoenician woman that's got a supply that nobody can understand. I'm telling you, folks, that if we will realize the central focus needs to be on our relationship with God, we can have a supply that will get us through any tight spot that nobody else will be able to understand. What is it? It's called the blessing of God. Amen. And so here we are tonight. It's time to cast some stuff down. It's time to have throwdown church. I want to ask you, if you are here tonight and you have been fighting this battle with depression, if you're here tonight and you've been fighting this battle with discouragement, men, if you've been fighting a battle with despair, I want to tell you tonight, do not be proud and say, I'm not going to go up there and admit I've been fighting a battle. Folks, that's the best thing you can do is admit you've been fighting the battle. It's when you're not fighting the battle anymore, that's when I'm really worried. Amen. I want you to get somebody by the hand and say, come on, it's time for some throwdown church. We are about to see a deliverance like we have never seen before. I believe that with all my heart. You elders, come on. You precious women of God, come on.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.